Recovery is a process. And if you're here tonight, you're going to be like me. You're going to hear God's truth. And God's truth is going to confront your faulty thinking and replace it with right thinking. And for most of us, that is a process. So, seven reasons we get stuck. Do we have a scripture verse, Ted? Okay. I don't know if you've got the same scripture verse that I have, Galatians 5:25. Let me just read something I've got here out of Isaiah. It goes like this. This is Isaiah 1:18. Come sit down. Let's argue this out. This is God's message. Even if your sins are blood red, they'll become as white as snow. Even if they're red like crimson, they'll be like wool. That's a fantastic promise. If we've got sins, if we've got bad behavior in our life, we can confess that, and God is faithful to forgive us of that and to change us and to convict us of wrongdoing and to give us something new to do with our lives. So that's what is happening when we work the steps and when we work the principles. So in your handout, we're going to start talking about these seven reasons of why we get stuck. So this is a spiritual program of action, Celebrate Recovery. It's a 12-step program. So we've got steps, we've got principles, we've got beatitudes. We're moving through truth to confront our faulty thinking. So we can get stuck in that process. We can get held up by our thinking. And so we're going to confront that today and try to break through it. So the first thing you've got written down there that you might get stuck is because you've not completely worked the previous principles. And there is a scripture verse that I want to find for that one. This is Galatians 5:25. Let's read this out loud. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. So we're convicted here in recovery that if we follow God's truth and we follow the steps, our life is going to change. Not only our life, our thinking's going to change, and our feelings will eventually come around to our belief system. So if you've got faulty thinking, it might go something like this. I don't agree with that principle. I don't agree with that step. I'm not going to do that principle. I'm not going to do that step. That principle is for other people. That principle is not for me. What were the principles? I'm taking a shortcut to my recovery, and I don't need all those principles and all those steps. I'm already okay, so I don't need this recovery stuff. I understand the principles, but I don't actually want to follow them in practice. So in recovery, we have an expression. Recovery, it works if you work it. If you're fighting a recovery principle or a recovery step, if you don't like it, if you don't agree with it, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck. All we're sharing with you is God's truth. And when I disagree with God's truth, I stop my spiritual growth. God wants me to come close to Him, and He wants me to know what His truth is. But if I'm holding my hands out and saying, I'm not going to do those steps, you know, I offended somebody, and I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to make amends. If I start thinking like that, I'm going to be stuck in my recovery, and God can't really get me further than where I'm at. So if you're going through a step study, or you hear a lesson being taught, and you just don't agree with it, it's revealing something about your character. It's revealing something about your character. When I went to my first step study, I thought, oh, there's this principal, they keep asking me to get a sponsor. But I got myself into trouble by being abusive, and I'll get myself out of trouble. So I won't have a sponsor. So I resisted having a sponsor. That slowed down my recovery. That made me get stuck. Now that I have a sponsor, and I've stopped fighting the program, and I'm just following it and trying to be obedient to it, I find out that Scripture confirms that my growth will be better by following God's truth instead of fighting God's truth. The second step in the lesson tonight on seven reasons is you've not completely surrendered your life and your will to the Lord. Do we have a scripture from Proverbs? Let's read this out loud. For good judgment and common sense, then trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So there's some truth for us to accept or to ignore. Am I surrendering my life? So here's some faulty thinking. All these examples I'm giving you on faulty thinking are examples from my life. So this is not abstract. This is me. I've had all these thoughts. So thought number one, my best thinking got me into recovery, and my best thinking can't change me. I make all of my life decisions by consulting with myself, not others, and not God. I trust my own judgment most. I set the rules for my own conduct. I spend my time and my wealth on what pleases me. Maybe you've had similar thoughts in your life. And if you do, it's okay to admit it. You know, when I go into small group on Wednesday night, I can take stock of my life and I can share it freely with a group of men that I trust. So I can just, before a group of men, share what my faults are, confess it out loud. And somehow the degree to which I confess my faults out loud is the degree that God wants to change my heart and heal me. You know, I can have sin in my life and I can confess it to God and He will forgive me. That's a promise in the Bible, and I believe it and I live on it. But when I confess the same sin to the group of my brothers, something bigger happens in my life. So we're not in recovery alone. We're in recovery together. And that will help you surrender your life. You know, all around us, we see modeled the strong, independent, self-made person, the person that pulled themselves up from the bootstraps. Recovery really is not like that. It's coming to God and saying, I have faulty thinking. I have sin in my life. I really need some help. I need some help today. I need some help right now. I need help multiple times per day. If I start calling upon God's name throughout every hour of the day, my life changes. I get a whole new perspective. Because I'm not relying upon my own thinking and my own wisdom. I'm relying upon God's wisdom. I'm relying upon God's strength and His truth to straighten me out. That will help you surrender your life and your will to God. And God will open up what your life is about. He will give your life meaning. He'll give your life purpose. He'll give your life direction. We're all here in recovery to get something. And God is a gracious giver. And if you keep coming to recovery, God's going to show you who you are in Christ and give you something to do. He's going to give you a life to share, your broken life, for others to give them hope. So every broken thing that's happened in your life up till now has a meaning to it. It has a purpose to it. God won't take it away, but He'll let you console the next person that comes along, maybe sitting next to you, that has a difficult life issue. Let's go to the third point. Reasons we get stuck. Number three, you've not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. Do we have 1 John? Let's repeat this one. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended upon to forgive us from our every wrong. 1 John 1:9. This is truth, and this really happens in the small groups. You know, I'm excited to go to the small group because I can get it off my chest and I can get right with God and I can reveal to my brothers that I'm a man that is in need. I started my journey in recovery December 2003. So I've been here 10 years. I'll never forget, I shared that one night in 101 and a guy just said, geez, recovery must not work. He was just being totally honest, you know, because he didn't sign up for a 10-year program. I didn't sign up for a 10-year program. I got caught with pornography. I was acting out in my home with myself and living a Christian life to the outside, but a worldly life on the inside. God revealed that sin, broke the relationship with my wife, broke the relationship and credibility with all my kids. Here's their Christian dad, been acting out for decades. He's a liar. He's not trustworthy. He's not a good role model. You know, talk about exposed and broken. It was good that I got caught, and it was better that I got forced to come to recovery. It wasn't my idea. So being here now, I don't have to hide secrets. I don't have to think, when's the best time to act out? I don't have to do those behaviors anymore. You know, going to step study, I figured out why I was doing that. I was following my father's footstep, and pleasure felt good, and the world told me, if it feels good, do it. But God says, come to me for your identity. So I had to make a choice. Do I go to God for my identity, or do I go to the world? In my recovery, I'm going to God more and more often. So we're talking about confessing, and if you've done the work in a step study of making a list, eventually your own name is going to appear on that list. You're going to realize that you've had some abuse in your life. Maybe you've said some things to others. Maybe you've done things to others. When I went to recovery, we had a guest speaker come in and talk about abuse, and she talked about at least 7 different types of abuse. I think there was emotional abuse, there was spiritual abuse, there was financial abuse, there was physical abuse. Anyone remember? Verbal, psychological. Thank you. So I was busted. I'd done all of them. So I came to realize that I had abuse in my life. I had abuse issues because I wanted to be in control, and I wanted what I wanted, when I wanted, and how I wanted it. And I would put you down to make you do what I wanted to make me feel better. And that was a sinful pattern. That was a sinful pattern. And with God's help, I've been able to break that. And part of that was confessing and making amends. And I had to forgive myself for my bad behavior. You know, because of my bad behavior, my wife got a court order and kicked me out of the house with a restraining order. So everyone that I loved and thought was most precious in my life, I was forced to be apart from for 14 months because of my bad behavior. So I had to forgive myself for that bad behavior, and I had to start making amends to the people that I hurt. And you know what? My wife started to trust me. I got invited back home. The son that I assaulted started to talk to me again and hadn't talked to me for 12 months. God took the broken pieces and started putting them back together. I never would have figured it out on my own. No way I would have figured it out on my own. But part of that was understanding what my part was, to forgive myself and to start making amends. Number 4, you can get stuck if you've not forgiven others who have harmed you. Do we have a verse in, is it Peter? Okay, let's read this. After you've suffered a little while, our God, who is full of kindness through Christ, will give you his eternal glory. He personally will come and pick you up and set you firmly in place and make you stronger than ever. 5, 10, 11. God's doing a lot of work there in our life if we're letting him. You may have some faulty thinking about forgiveness, either toward yourself or towards others that harmed you. So let me share some of that faulty thinking just to expose it and get it out there. Faulty thought number one, I cannot be forgiven for what I've done to others. My sins, hurts, habits, and hang-ups define who I am. I deserve to be punished. I deserve to be unhappy. So if you've got those thoughts running through your mind, it's good just to confess them in a safe place, in a safe group of people. And God will start to confront that faulty thinking with his truth that you are acceptable to him. Right now, everyone, wherever you are in your seat today, you are acceptable to God. God sees you as acceptable. God likes you. God loves you. God wants to use your life for a purpose. You're not too far gone. You are not too far gone. So we can forgive ourselves, but what about forgiving others? You might have some thoughts like I have. Those people are on my get even list. They deserve to be punished. I deserve to punish them. I will not let this go. I will hold on to this because I have for so many years. I become happy when they suffer harm. All that's faulty thinking. Sooner you get it out of your system and admit it out loud, sooner God can change your heart. Sooner God can change you. There's a scripture verse that talks about vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God may not settle the scores in this lifetime, but I have no doubt that all of us will stand before him and have to give an answer for what we did with the time and talents that he gave us. So there will be that day, and that will be between them and God. Now, if you've been abused by somebody, we're not saying forget that abuse. We're saying understand what abuse is, understand what your rights as a person and a creature of God are. And if you're in an abusive situation, share that with somebody, and we'll help you set some boundaries and consequences if someone is harming you physically, sexually, emotionally, all the different ways of abuse that there are. We want you to be in a safe place now and help you to get to a safe place if you are being abused by people around you. Fifth reason that we can get stuck, you're afraid of the risk in making the necessary changes. Let's read Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. That's a lot of eyes by our God. He personally cares about us. He really does. And very often he'll use brothers and sisters that are here in this room to share with you this truth, to set you free from whatever your bad habits are. I've had some faulty thinking in this whole area about the risk of making changes in my life. So here's some of the faulty thinking that I've had in my life. If I change, then others won't like me and they won't accept me anymore. I like my sin. It's comforting. It's familiar. It's working for me. If I change, what do I replace my old habits and coping skills with? What if I try to change and then I stumble or fall or relapse or backslide? I've had all those thoughts. those thoughts come to me. Your thoughts might be similar to that. They might be different. The whole thing is that in recovery, we are changing. We are changing. Very often, I'm not a good judge of whether my life is changing, but the people around me are. So I knew recovery was kind of working for me when my teenage son, who I assaulted, and he assaulted me back, he came to me one day and he said, "Dad, you don't argue with me." And that was a compliment. Before, my style was to win every single argument. It was more important for me to be right than to be in a relationship. And in recovery, you'll hear things like rules without relationship equals rebellion. Has anyone heard that before? Rules without relationship equals rebellion. I can tell you as a parent, I have made that mistake big time with one of my sons. I had so many rules for him, he couldn't succeed. He couldn't please me. And I was so harsh on him. He rebelled. He rebelled against me. But you know what? When I sat him down and told him that that behavior that I did, that shame, that put down, that comparisons, that name calling was wrong. And with God's help, I'm not going to do that again. And could you forgive me? And is there anything I can do to make that up to you? You know, when you do something like that, God will start to restore that broken relationship. God really will. So change, we fight change. But if I fight change, I'm probably thinking about the human consequences. But if I go to God, change is possible. If you're a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit's in you, and the Holy Spirit will guide you in all righteousness, and the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're doing something wrong. The Holy Spirit is in you. And if you're growing in your spiritual stature, you'll hear his voice more clearly and you'll be able to follow and obey better. And you'll experience sobriety, you'll experience sanity in your life. And the risks won't seem so bad anymore in the change that you need. The sixth reason that we can get stuck in our spiritual recovery is you're not willing to own your responsibility. There should be a verse in Psalms. Let's read this one. "Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover if there is any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way." Psalm 139:23. This is a prayer. This is something heartfelt. This is something that I can say every day and ask God to reveal to me if there's something that I'm saying. Is there something that I'm doing or not saying and not doing? Is there something that he wants to change in my life? Not only for my good, but for the good of the people that are around me. Some of my faulty thinking on this idea of owning my behavior and my responsibility are these things. I've had faulty thinking like, the past is dead and gone. I never think about it. I needed to use physical force to get their attention and respect. I use sarcasm to make fun of others and make people like me. I use verbal put-downs and shame to get others to do what I wanted. I said I was sorry once years ago. That should cover it. You can have thinking like that. It won't advance you in your spiritual walk. It won't advance you in recovery. It'll slow you down. It'll block you. So on Wednesday nights, we can just confess and get real with God and with each other. Men with men, women with women. These small groups are our lifesavers. So my part in recovery is my behavior. I know when I first started recovery, I really wanted my wife to be in recovery because there were things about her that just drove me nuts. And I just kept asking, God, when are you going to change her? When are you going to change her? And then in recovery, I figured out, hey, look at yourself. Recovery is not about your spouse. It really isn't. And then I finally learned I can't change anybody. I can change my own behaviors. I can change the way I respond to people. But my job is not to ask God to please change my spouse or my children or my loved ones or my boss. I'm asking God now to equip me to live my life responsibly the way that he would want me to live. So that's my responsibility. The whole focus has changed. I'm not trying to fix other people. And when I do catch myself, I stop. I stop and back down. So amends is one thing that you're going to do to own your behavior and your words. So if your behavior and your words are harming other people, are offending other people, if you're not speaking the truth in love, you're probably offending people. And they'll let you know sometimes if they're brave enough. Or sometimes they'll tell a third party to come and tell you that they're offended. No matter how you find it out, you know, it's really your job to go and apologize for what your part was. Your words have power to heal and to hurt people. So in recovery, we're going to own our recovery. We're not going to compare ourselves versus another person. We're going to ask God, what do you want me to do today? Final reason that we could get stuck in our spiritual growth and our spiritual recovery is number 7. You've not developed an effective support team. There should be a verse here from Proverbs. Let's read this. Be with wise men and become wise. Be with evil men and become evil. Proverbs 13:20. So the Western mindset is, I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to go to the bookstore, get a book, self-help book. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to fix myself. I got myself into trouble. I'll get myself out. That's self-reliance. That's self-reliance. You might have other faulty thinking in this whole area about having a support team. So here's some of my faulty thinking. I can figure out recovery on my own. I don't need a support team. If I admit my faults, then I will be seen as weak. I cannot find a sponsor. I don't really want to trouble anyone to be my sponsor. I don't want to be confronted by a sponsor about my life choices. I really don't want to open up to another person. A sponsor is only useful during a step study. That's some of my faulty thinking about resisting a support team. And I'd really bought into the world system that I just had to rely upon myself and nobody else. I wanted to do recovery just between me and God and the words in the page. God showed me that had slowed down my recovery. By not having a sponsor, by not calling up accountability partners, my life had sin in it, it had habits, and I wasn't getting freedom. Now that I'm open to my groups, and I do have a sponsor, and I call on him to get perspective, I'm getting a different outlook on life. I'm confronting my faulty thinking with right thinking. I'm doing life differently now. You know, my circumstances are not all wonderful. I'm not living a Disney, they lived happily ever after life. You know, no arguments and just continual bliss. That's not it. But I'm responding to life differently now. When adversity comes my way, I'm not looking at it as a judgment from God or a way to squirm and get around it. I'm asking God for strength to get through it. Real different thinking than what I had before. So in recovery, you hear about a support team. You hear about the fact that we're not in this alone. You'll be encouraged to check in with somebody during the week, maybe somebody in your small group. men with men, women with women. So you're checking in with someone, telling them how your life is going. Maybe you're a little bit bolder and you've taken the next step and you're in a step study and you've got a sponsor. Call upon your sponsor. God's put them there in your life. God's given your sponsor some sobriety, some sanity. You can learn from your sponsor. God will use the words of wisdom from your sponsor to speak into your specific life, unlike someone that's just an accountability partner or someone that you meet in a small group. Sponsors are good for you. As a matter of fact, some of you here have got some sobriety in your life. You've got some hope in your life. You've got some strength. You've got some experience. You know what? You're probably ready to become a sponsor. If you've got some sobriety in your life, you've got some hope, some strength, some experience, we've got a series of classes that you can attend, and you can consider becoming a sponsor yourself to other men, other women. You can give away what you have learned in your life to another person by becoming a sponsor. I like my sponsor because he has a sponsor, and his sponsor has a sponsor. It goes on infinitely. Everybody should have a sponsor. Everybody should have someone that can confront them in love, challenge them, encourage them, see the change in their life, and let them know that they've got victory in their life, even if it's just one little thing different. So let's just quickly review. We've got reasons we can get stuck. We're all on a spiritual journey. Every one of us has a body. Every one of us has a spirit. We're on a journey with both body and spirit. You don't have to be stuck. You don't have to be the same today as you were a year ago. You can be different. So number one, work the principles. Not just think about them, actually do them. Number two, surrender your life. This is a daily thing. You know, it's not a one-time thing, it's a daily thing. Number three, accept that you are forgiven. Accept and believe that you are acceptable to God. You are worthy of God's affection and love. Number four, forgive others that have harmed you. Make that part of your amends. Don't hold on to that anger and resentment. Number five, you will make changes in your life. God will change you. It's a risk to change. It's worth it. Number six, you are responsible for your behavior and your actions, not others. And the last one, have a support team. I started my recovery 10 years ago. I keep coming back because I see in my small group men with changed lives, men with new hope where they only had brokenness before. I get inspired. I keep coming back because it builds me up. And for some reason, people can look at the brokenness in my life and see a difference. So God can use that same thing in your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you tonight.